Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which may not be used by anyone under the age of 18 without the supervision of a parent or legal guardian who agrees to be bound by our terms. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for joining us. Even if you're under 18, as long as you're supervised.
That's right. Be supervised. Those are not just any
good.
Terms
I like
of use,
that one. I like using little terms of service warning instead of just a mission statement. I like where he's going with this. Yeah.
I like this too. You know, I think it's time. Like, we're about to head into a new year. It's good to, like, we should shake it up a little. We got to keep the show fresh. Mm-hmm. Fresh, fresh, fresh.
And you, the listener, probably are thinking, oh, it's a medical thing or a piece of heavy machinery or something like that. What was that actually taken from, Molly?
Yeah, so ironically, considering that whole under the age of 18 thing, that's from Nintendo. Noted kids brand, Nintendo.
And if you're like, oh, because of the Wii with the stick that... No, Nintendo.com.
.com.
Yeah, the website.
I mean, wow.
I guess, is this have to do with multiple children-related data collection laws around the world that they're just
probably.
Like 18? We'll just put it at 18.
Because
in the
like,
U.S. it'd be 13. But in Europe, it'd be different. So, yeah. Yeah, just make
maybe
it 18.
Japan is more hardcore. Anyway, maybe. Love it. Love the terms of service turn. Love the twist to the everything.
You've been
genius
warned.
As usual. So happy to be back with everybody. It's been like many minutes, I feel like, since I did It's a Thing.
It's not a new season yet.
No.
But it almost feels
just
like
sort
it.
Of feels like it. Ay. All right, what do we got?
My first one has been a slow bubble for me to notice. I'm just going to say what it is off top. It is the Fourth Wing book by Rebecca Yarros, and the sequel Iron Flame just came out. So it's as much about Iron Flame as it is about Fourth Wing. We read this for Sword and Laser a few months back, and we enjoyed it. And we're like, oh, this is a fun romanticy. Also a sub thing here, romanticy.
Ooh,
definitely a thing, right? Mixing your fantasy and your romance equally. This one is more on the fantasy side of romanticy. It's got dragons. It's got death. It's a school where people go to learn how to be paired with a dragon and become warriors. And people in the school die all the time because it's dangerous, apparently. Also, a lot of the other students will kill other students out of jealousy. And that's just part of life in this world. And there's a lot of enemies to lovers kind of situations going on, too, because it is romanticy. I thought, oh, great book, fun conversation. This is going to be in that world with like James S. A. Corey for sci-fi, like really popular fantasy series, until I am in the Barnes & Noble, which, you know, separate thing. I'm in a Barnes & Noble. But I'm in a Barnes & Noble with Lamar Wilson and Eileen Rivera, my wife, and they see the Fourth Wing Iron Flame table and go, oh, there's that book that's all over TikTok. And I'm like, you all know about Fourth Wing? And they're like, oh, yeah, everybody's talking about Fourth Wing because Iron Flame came out. And they hadn't read it, but they had heard everybody talking about it. Then the Sword and Laser folks point out that the New York Times did this, like, write-up of Rebecca Yarros. They interviewed her, talked about her life and how she was inspired to write the story. It's already been optioned by Amazon, I think, if I'm remembering right, to be developed into a TV show. Like, this thing is the hotness, and not just in the genre. It has broken out.
Wow. This is fascinating. I have not heard of this because I will completely confess to you that in absolutely mega mega mecha Godzilla thingness, the only TikTok content I'm consuming right now is Taylor and Travis. And I will not apologize for that ever.
Nor should you.
But I'm so glad that you did this because now I can already feel the Streisand effect building.
Yeah.
Like I cannot wait to start here. And also I totally want to read this because I just watched Wheel of Time.
It's good.
And I'm like deep into, I'm like, I need more fantasy content immediately.
Yeah, this is a good one. Audiobook is good. Go whichever way your heart takes you. But I did the audiobook and it was well performed. And just since you're interested, I'll set you up a little bit. The main character is training to be a scribe, but her mom decides to force her to go to the deadly dragon school instead.
Whoa.
So it's a book lover.
Medium parenting.
Who is thrown into this, you know, dangerous dragon training situation.
Who, not for nothing, as I'm scanning the New York Times, like, it seems like a big part of, one of the reasons that this is such a hit is she's got a chronic illness. It's this kind of representation element that's based on Rebecca Yarros's own thing. Oh my God, this is so cool. I cannot wait to get it. I love it.
Yeah,
what a good thing.
All the boxes right now. So yeah. Check out Fourth Wing and Iron Flame if you like Fourth Wing.
Heck yeah. Or
and
actually,
or.
You know what? I think these things in a weird and unexpected way go together because as we enter officially the Thanksgiving week, the season, the holiday season, sometimes a thing has been a thing for a while in a low simmer, and then that thing gets so overexposed that it becomes a meme. And then that's when it is properly ripe to be addressed on this show. And that is what has happened with Hallmark holiday romance movies.
Specifically that Hallmarky genre. Yeah.
The Hallmark ones.
Totally with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Quite even literally the ones on the Hallmark channel where people are now posting, they're posting those, postage stamp compilations of the covers of every one of these movies that show up on Netflix or the Hallmark channel. And it's all identical. It's literally a man in a green sweater, a woman in a red sweater, and a snowy little background behind them. And it's like, there are 12 of them on the poster. They have made so many of them. They churn them all out. They have the exact same plot. Now I'm seeing the funny feminist Instagram post be like, yeah, I watched it in reverse. And a woman dumps her loser small town girlfriend and goes and becomes a lawyer in New York and lives a fabulous life in pencil skirts. Like they've been around and they're hilarious and sometimes unexpectedly fun to watch. But now they are like a thing in the meme way. And I can't, it's hilarious.
I feel like these are sort of a cougar, if you will.
Yeah.
For TV watching, because we have had a tradition. I don't know if it's going to carry on this year or not. We'll see. But we've had a tradition that started with A Christmas Prince on Netflix when Eileen watched it, where she watches this kind of movie. That was not a Hallmark movie. It was a Netflix movie, but same genre. And I bake cookies.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what these are for.
I often in the past live tweeted my, observations as if, you know, I was being surprised by every predictable turn.
Yeah.
So
this is the degree to which this is a thing this year. Every year, obviously, the Hallmark Channel makes these movies. They make dozens of them. This year, they are having a countdown to Christmas event during which they will be airing 40 new holiday
40.
Films.
40. Wow.
And Peacock is doing a 2-day streaming event of these. I mean, they are like the thingiest thing that ever thing. Like on the theory that you can't have too much of a good thing, they have decided to smother
to
us
that.
To death in our sleep with Hallmark Christmas. 40.
A Heidelberg Holiday. Mystery on Mistletoe Lane. A World Record Christmas. Navigating Christmas. A Merry Scottish Christmas. Oh my gosh.
I mean, and you know what they are? And I hate to make everybody uncomfortable with this comparison, but these are sex-free porn films. Like if you were to scan, I mean, it's time for her to come home for Christmas. And then they just turn them out and they all have the same plot. Like,
yep.
It's the same formula for speed production of something that is just a pure, dumb serotonin boost. And you don't actually want to watch that much of it.
And you don't have to work your brain watching it.
Sorry
right?
for the kids.
You can do other things while you're watching it, right? Because you know when the good parts are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. Worn down, not burdened by plot.
I'm not trying to say I'm not going to watch at least one.
Oh, yeah. No, we're definitely watching. Well, maybe like I said, we'll see. Yeah.
Shoot, I might do the whole 2 days. Like, why not? Just hunker down.
See, there was A Christmas Prince, which they did three of. And then there was The Princess Switch, which was a holiday set story with Vanessa Hudgens as twins, one of whom is working class from America and the other is a princess. And they look like each other. It's crazy. Yeah.
Shout out Ambassador Domo for posting the noguiltlife.com printable list of all the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Amazing. That's amazing. Well done.
This is a sensation.
Yeah.
Oh God, am I doing this? I might be doing this. There's one with Scott Wolf from Party of Five.
That's how they get you, right? They do these stunt castings where you're like, oh, but if that's got that guy. Yeah.
Oh, biscuits. Yeah, this is embarrassing and yet it's happening.
Yeah.
There you go.
Totally. That's a good one. And timely, you know, right in time for the holidays.
Oh, yeah. It's next week, people.
I would like to mark down this. I'm a little late to this one. It's been cooking all year. But the COS bag, COS, COS quilted bag, was a quest for Eileen when we were in Seoul, because Jenny from Blackpink was famous for carrying it. It's designer, but it's $99. And every street corner vendor, every train station sales shop had them for even cheaper. So she finally went and got one on Temu, by the way. But it introduced me to the COS bag, which is almost impossible to get the actual COS bag because it has become such a big thing.
COS, it's just this, comfy, for those who are not familiar with this, this
big
brand.
Comfy crossbody quilted puffy bag.
Huh. I have not seen this and now I need it immediately. And I'm trying to figure out how to see the pictures because my disconnect, thank God for it, is blocking them. So COS is the
COS,
the Instagram post. They're blocking the pictures on the Instagram posts. That's so interesting. So quilted bags, I was in Nordstrom Rack while I was traveling recently because you never travel without having to go get some dumb thing. Quilted bags in general definitely are the look right now.
Yeah.
And then the crossbody really just has not gone anywhere and never will. Interesting.
I don't know if the COS bag kicked off the quilted bag situation, or if it was just riding the wave and became the emblem of it, but
right.
It's definitely a thing.
It's definitely a thing. I'm looking it up. I found the image. I have seen this. It's a specific kind of quilted, it's big. It's giant marshmallows.
Yes. Good description. Yeah. It's like a bunch of giant marshmallows sewn together.
Oh, geez. I need it. Okay, I cannot believe, by the way, that we have had fantasy romance entertainment section of the show and now we have fashion section, because we do not plan this.
No, because this is just kismet.
This is just magical. My final thing for today is the shacket, which
tell
is
me more.
A fashion item. I know. Uh-huh. I'm just going to leave that there. The shacket.
I assume it's part jacket, but I'm not quite sure what the other part is yet.
It's a shirt jacket. The SH is for shirt.
The SH is for shirt. Isn't every jacket also a shirt?
No. A jacket is a jacket. It's outerwear.
Okay. What makes it a shacket then?
Often that it is shaped and styled like a shirt, but a little bit heavier. So it might, have the front pocket and it's got some buttons up the front and it kind of literally looks like a shirt, like a big, the flannel outerwear shirt. And the jackets have been around, like 2021 is sort of when they really started appearing. But now I would say it's just, I know it because actually it's in this category that is referred to as transitional outerwear, which means it's not quite hot and it's not quite cold. And so you just need a like a kind of lightweight thing to throw on, a jacket. But I was perusing my Rent the Runway, which I do, which keeps me stylish and up on trends. And it's pretty rare for something to jump out at me as much as jackets did. When I was looking at Rent the Runway, I was like, okay, I get
They're
it.
They're everywhere. It. Yeah, yeah.
And it makes perfect sense because especially the big, like the puffy ones with buttons that look like a flannel overshirt or maybe a fleecy overshirt are super 90s.
Oh, they totally are. You're right.
Yeah.
Like,
and they just go with that totally 90s aesthetic, which is like, I'm just wearing a big flannel shirt or like what looks like a bowling jacket.
Buffy, the guy, always wore these big
spike
flannel shirts in the early seasons of Buffy. Totally 90s.
Totally. Totally 90s. So, yes, there is an article at Marie Claire from September 26th. The 14th has it all. The 14 best jackets for women who love transitional dressing.
Transitional dressing. That sounds like something entirely different.
Transitional outerwear. And yes. And I think also it's just sort of an interesting, like, maybe I should write a newsletter about this. It's almost like a tiny little climate story because like spring, like fall is lasting so long now and coming so late that the period of transitional outerwear is lasting longer and longer, I think.
I did not realize until this moment that I own a jacket.
Of course you do.
When you were describing it, I was like, oh, right. I have that one flannel shirt that's a little bit thick. Mm-hmm. And that I tend to be like, do I need this? Because I don't want to wear this and a jacket because it's already a jacket.
Yeah.
I totally have this. Yep. I just never had a word for it.
That, I know. I think that's the funny thing. The funny thing is that now the word is just all over the place. Like, it's just like shacket. And I'm like, really? We just decided to do that? Like Fablet? Like, we're fine with that for now? And then I bet
who doesn't love
stop.
A portmanteau? Come on.
Exactly. A shacket. I have a total like.
Ah, this is a great
super
one.
Soft, fuzzy flannel one that I'm probably going to wear today, except that it's weirdly too hot today because it's just never going to get cold.
Yeah, I'm headed up to my in-laws for my niece's birthday. In-laws, my Eileen's sisters. And I was deciding whether I should take my shacket or not, decided against it. But I don't know. Now that I know the name of it, maybe I'll change my mind.
I mean, I think you might have to because it's a thing.
Yeah, totally. Real quickly, I want to check back in on a thing. We talked about the night train years ago. Several years ago, about the idea. And when we talked about it going from between San Francisco and LA, like taking, and I think we talked about the night bus as well, right? Where you would get, you'd board in the evening, you sleep, they have big sleeper cabins, and then you show up at the other city in the morning, get up, have breakfast. Apparently, the night train, more than the night bus in Europe, is a thing. Everybody's buzzing about taking the night train because, you know, it's got that Orient Express kind of feel to it. And you are carbon friendly because you're taking a train instead of a plane, even though it takes a little longer. CNN Travel has a story on it that caught my eye. I was like, oh, we talked about that a while ago. I guess it's continued to develop.
I love this. I want to take some night trains, although I did get robbed once on a night train to Nice.
That will turn you off a night train real quick, won't it?
Definitely will. Yeah, just sleeping away.
That's not good. Did they not let you lock the cabin or did they break the lock?
I wasn't in a cabin because I was a little like broke post-college. So yes, friends, if you're taking the night train, get a cabin.
Take precautions.
Take precautions. Good check-in. I like it.
Yeah. Take a night train, folks, but take it safely. Let's get to the your things feedback at itsathing.me. Tim wrote in with a language thing. Hi, Molly and Tom. Back in the 80s and 90s, the words bad and wicked, denoting something good or perhaps a sinful pleasure, were doing their thing and upsetting a lot of people. I'm not sure whether I've just got used to this usage of bad and wicked or whether they just aren't the very thing anymore, but I think wicked is still fairly current. Not sure about bad.
Yeah, bad to mean good is not happening anymore, I don't think. Wicked is happening in some circles. I would argue that both of them have been largely replaced by sick.
Yes. Yes. That's
sick.
That's the move.
And sick has been exactly. And that is, in fact, the move. Which might be one of those things that, you know, like so many things that you're not sure about. I wasn't totally sure about the move. And now I'm like, yeah, oh, thank God I did that, because it's like breathing.
Yeah.
That's the move. I mean, maybe bad will come back, but that one really, like, that one's good. That one's long gone.
Yeah, I feel like Wicked's bad still is almost extinct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wicked is regional. And by regional, I don't necessarily mean like geographic, but like it has shrunk into its subcultures again.
Yeah, now we just have sick and slaps.
Slick. Oh, and slaps. You're right. Those are the heirs to Wicked and Bad.
Sick and slaps are the new bad and wicked. Joe Hood isn't sure if we covered this already. Dear Masters of the Thingiverse, I have a thing that has been going on for some time to the point where I can't recall if it's been mentioned on the show. That the thing is canon, as in the sanctioned texts in a religion, but apply to other contexts. This is especially true in nerdy media properties where people argue about the canonical Star Wars and Marvel texts. People are getting up in arms about what is the official Luke Skywalker or Iron Man is becoming more and more common. Canon goes hand in hand with online fan theory discussions where people speculate and argue about the future and past of the products they watch. But the idea of canon has spread into Zoomer alpha slang as well. Kids are now talking about canon events as things that were meant to be and pivotal in forming who they are. This is apparently borrowed from Spider-Verse this summer, where the term was a key plot point.
Oh, totally. I kind of love this. I don't know if we've talked about canon being a thing, but he's entirely right. I had no idea it was like migrating out of story.
Now that he said it, it totally freaking is. Like, I've always heard of and used canon in that kind of nerdiverse, like the geekiverse way.
Yeah.
But the evolution of it, 100%. And it's interesting because sometimes I do hear that canon event and also the term core memory are sort of both going hand in hand. And then I hear it sometimes around in the context of gatekeeping. You remember we talked about gatekeeping?
Yeah.
Which is like, you can't be into my cool thing. I'm gatekeeping this cool thing. Sometimes people will ask about canon as a gatekeeping tactic. But not just in the things that you would expect, like Marvel or Star Wars. Right. You know, it'll be like, were you there? Did you know about the canon event? Did you even know about Taylor's two boyfriends ago or whatever?
Right. What? Oh, interesting. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. And I think part of what is feeding that new usage is the idea that rumors and speculation are being treated as facts, right? I run into this all the time with people that when it's something it's they want to believe.
That. No, well, I think it's less of that. But keep going.
Let me see where I go with this, because I'm not even sure.
All right.
So people are seeing the things they want to believe, and they're like, well, that may be not the most reliable source, but they are right a lot of the time, and that feels true to me. And so that could feed the idea of which events are worth paying attention to and which are not. Right. So not that the rumors are canon or not, but like, oh, that ended up not being that big of a deal. So it's not canon, even though it actually happened. Right.
Yes.
Versus, oh, this was a big rumor and it turned out to be true. And I was there. Canon.
Totally.
Is that where
now
we're going?
I totally
here?
Follow. Yep. I think we might be going exactly there. Yeah, absolutely. And then also the idea of almost like it's interesting that it emerged in the Spider-Verse thing, because now I'm watching Loki. And this has a very sacred timeline feel to it. Like if it happened in the sacred time, you know, if it happened in the main timeline, it's canon. And if it was like a tertiary event in your life or in the set of stories or the rumors or whatever, it's not.
It's hard for me to wrap my head around, because the idea of canon in religion is very easy. Like there are things that we say as the church that are true, and then there are beliefs that people have had that we say are not true. And maybe they used to be, but they're not canon. So you believe them or not, you know, it's outside the canon. With story, it's really easy. Like, oh, that story was written and it happened in that story, but it's not canon because it doesn't feed in the other stories that build on it. Don't have to relate. It's not canon. I'm having a harder time figuring out how to put it into actual events because they happened. They all happened. But I think I'm starting to get it, which is like, but these are the important ones. The other ones don't matter.
And I'm kind of liking this, not to like make it too philosophical, but I like the idea of these younger generations focusing on truths that build context for developments, you know, like you could say that something is a canon event, maybe if it creates a path dependency, like as opposed to all of the noise and misinformation and rumors.
Right.
And I don't know. And I'm not suggesting that this is what they're doing on purpose, but it feels like a parsing of information that I'm finding to be a positive trend.
And a more subtle parsing than just true or false, right?
Exactly.
It's like waiting.
Totally.
Waiting. Yeah. That's interesting. Thanks,
Joe. Okay, deep. We went deep. Thanks,
Joe. Yeah. Barbara has a potential thing for us to evaluate. Hello, Thingsters. Thing check request. I've seen people on my Instagram feed starting cold therapy. The idea is that you go outside in light clothing while it is cold, but not yet cold. This way, when it is truly cold, you'll be able to tolerate the cold better. Is this a thing?
Oh my God, that's so awesome. And it goes so well with shackets.
Yes, it does, actually. It's you need that transitional like
you wear your
outerwear.
A little too long. I have not heard this, and Tom and I don't live in cold places anymore, but I could imagine some version of this because I do whenever I have done, like, you know, when you go to a football game and you know it's going to end up being really cold, I'm thinking back to college, there is this question of like when you put the layers on. Is it, do you need to put them on to maintain the inner heat or do you put them on once you're already cold?
Yeah, because if you put them on too early, then you're not building up any extra warmth. But if you put them on too late, you've lost a lot of your warmth. Yeah, it's all about timing.
I don't know, but I love it. If you live in a cold climate, please confirm.
I feel like it's canon.
I feel like it's canon. Cold therapy is canon.
Devo, this is yours. Tell us about Devo.
Devo wrote in with a possible thing report. A few weeks ago, I started seeing a few memes of characters from a show called The Amazing Digital Circus. I had never heard of it. And within a few days, I was seeing memes from it everywhere. Oh. Is it a thing? Maybe. Apparently, The Amazing Digital Circus is a psychological dark comedy about cute cartoon characters who maybe like hate everything.
That has
that
all the makings
memeable.
Of a thing. Yeah.
It that's does.
Like, feels like Meet the Feebles, which was a thing in the 90s. But yeah, it's.
I feel like in 3 months, we're going to be like, did we do the Amazing Digital Circus? Because that's like
already.
Everywhere.
Yeah. 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 Devo, I think you're ahead of the game on this one. And thank you for letting us know about it. Lisa, on a lighting thing. Hi, Tom, Molly, and Rich. Thing check for you. Customized neon signs. I've noticed them at more and more businesses, weddings, photo shoots, homes, etc. And then my work offered a company discount at 3 different customized neon sign places, and especially custom neon signs in mounted on a fake greenery wall for some reason. Yes.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Well spotted, Lisa. I can confirm
I've seen-
that one.
The custom neon sign mounted on fake greenery so many times.
Yeah.
And now I'm so angry that it did not crystallize into recognition of thingness.
Yes.
Why is that such a look right now?
Yeah. My boba place has that with a like one of their slogans up on the wall. It's so it's well done, Lisa. You get to host the show now.
Well, so good. Spotted. And it is like a really specific style of place that has it. Like you serve organic food or smoothies or.
But I've even seen, because Eileen's done a lot of like, you know, home office videos where she's watching. I've seen people do them in their home, you know, like.
I've seen the custom neon signs for sure.
Yeah.
You've seen it on the greenery.
Not on the greenery wall in the home, but the custom neon sign for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if there's something about LED that made it easier to make those.
Oh, there's something cheaper. Yeah. There's a cheaper process in there somewhere. You're right. They're probably not actually neon is the thing.
Right. Thank God. And then Mike writes in with some millennial thoughts. Hey, gang, I think I'm a week or two behind here, but I just want to point out how interconnected a few past things are. I remember you talking about food halls and thinking about the ones near me. I couldn't help but notice that the generation that grew up eating Lunchables and hanging out at mall food courts has in turn decided to hang out at food halls anchored by craft breweries and bars, eat artisanal charcuterie boards, and shop handmade trinkets from local vendors. They say you will grow up, but it doesn't mean you grow old. Mm-hmm. Old habits die hard, or some other cliche.
Yes, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. That conference that I went to in Belgium, the company putting on the conference treated everybody to dinner at Wolf Food Hall. Actually, I don't think it was called Food Hall, but it was definitely a food hall. Hilariously, like, had a SoCal Mexican place, you know, and along with a Bao place and a Korean place and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, food hall, here we go. They've got them everywhere. So yeah.
You're so right, though. It really, like, of course we're doing this because we just feel more comfortable. grew up
eating Lunchables and hanging out in the mall food courts. Why not?
Oh, so good. Thank you so much for your emails. As always, thank you so much to you, those of you who support the show at patreon.com/itsathing, especially our favorite patrons, the one who support us at the shout out level, so that you get custom shout outs week after week, hand crafted by producer Rich Straffolino.
Let me ask you, Molly, are you a fan of Carter's writing fluid?
Carter's writing fluid is the only writing fluid to even have. Are you even writing if you're not writing with Carter's writing fluid?
If you're not writing with Carter's, you're not writing.
Oh, incredible. Today's shout-outs are, in fact, based on a July 1919 ad for Carter's writing fluid, which I think might be ink, but I don't want to...
It sounds like ink to
undersell
me,
it.
But who knows? Let's find out.
Who am I to say? In we go. The intensity of the Benjamin Forrest blue is an indication of Audrey Stoll Adler's spot quality. No Lee Price, however good, can be successfully incorporated with a poorly developed or muddy Gabrielle Cohen. The pleasing Morris Jones color may be traced directly back through the Brian Gianforcaro laboratories.
To the rigid selection of raw Kevin Sill and proper Laura Abel handling.
To the 9 exacting laboratory Baylor trucks to which each James C. Smith is subjected.
To constant Joe Hood guided by 60 years of experience as manufacturing Louis Saint-Amour.
In short, to the highest standard of Eric Duncan reinforced by our Jake Woods ideal.
Nothing so A.J. Venturella that it can't be Mike Akins.
Oh, my, where does he find it?
Carter's writing fluid. I didn't want to look it up until after we had done it.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, all I can find is the ads. I can find.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, it's ink. It's ink.
It's ink. Yeah. Of course it is.
But you know what I think it is?
This
I think it's
the,
probably
the
made out
of the day.
Yeah, it's probably not made of what ink was normally made of. And so they were calling it writing fluid. This is just a
or
guess.
Not. Yeah.
My guess is that ink had a definition and they were like, well, it's not actually ink.
Right. Well, that's not that. It's
whereas today we don't care. We're like, no, does it work in a pen? Then it's ink. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
So funny.
Ugh, love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to those of you who support us at the shout out level and any level at patreon.com/itsathing. You get Benny's, not just custom shout outs. Mm-hmm. You can become a member and get access to our Discord where you can chat along live with fellow fans while we record. Plus, and I think this is clutch, an ad free RSS feed.
You can also support the show by buying some stuff through our affiliate links. If you're out there shopping for holiday gifts, look at itsathing.me/shop. And of course, keep those things coming. Feedback at itsathing.me.
Ooh, I'm loading it up with shackets. See you next week.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.